welcome, and thank you for joining us. Yes, we are live, and the number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. So we'd love to have your calls and comments, but I want to say this like I say every week. Of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. I will probably be talking about individual stocks of some kind, way, shape, or form, buying, selling, whatever. And that's really not anything that we're here to do, is to talk about what to buy, or sell. In fact, that's really stupid. I don't think it's entertaining. And that's not just my opinion. I think it actually is misleading. I will be talking about that on Tuesday during our Zoom meeting for our clients. And all right, that's the fun part of live radio. I mean it. I'm not being facetious. It is actually fun and exciting because you never know when technology will blow up. So hopefully this will work. The phone will work great, and we can get through this beautifully, okay? Because it is. It's an interesting time we're in. We're in a fantastically interesting time. Do we buy? Do we think long term? Are we concerned about what's going on short term? And I think investors, by and large, are acting very, very well. They get it. You don't buy stocks high and then sell them low. And there's always, we know this, there's always people that are going to blow up like they did in 2021 and the beginning of 2022. Why? Because they were chasing stocks they knew nothing about. They were day trading. They were gambling. That's all they're doing. You're not buying game stock because you think it could be something, right? You're not buying electric vehicle manufacturers because you really fully understand and know, like, what do you know, that we're going to have electric vehicles down the road? Well, congratulations, you know, Captain Obvious. We are, of course we are. But what company or companies will survive? Do we just buy them all at whatever prices? Do we just own lithium because we heard they put lithium in batteries? Wow, I mean, this has got to be a home run. When it's obvious, it's also obviously a bad investment. That's the trick. That's the hard part. And it is for new investors. They think they know things. It's like, oh, I heard on the news that lithium is in short supply. So I want to buy a lithium manufacturer. No. What you know isn't worth knowing. Everybody knows it. It's priced in. It's so obvious. It's like saying the real estate has gone up. Yeah. So does that tell you what it's going to do in the future? No. Does it tell you how to position your portfolio in real estate? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, that's a simplistic example, but it's everywhere. The human mind throws us off all the time where we think we know things that are completely irrelevant. Don't help us at all. I mean, truly don't help us at all. But gosh, I know a lot about fill in the blank that everybody else knows about because it's in the news every day. Now, do you know a lot about microbiology and have been tracking this company and are able to see that their biotech experiments are getting closer and closer and they really are going to come up with something really good? Maybe, maybe not, but at least you've done some real homework that not everybody knows. And it's true in all things, all pursuits. But the idea that, you know, you're going to trade successfully Apple or whatever crazy little company. And what happened here with these cyber, you know, currencies or whatever you want to call them, gambling tokens, is tragic. But it only happened to a small handful of people because most everybody else acted normal. They really didn't think they were going to take a couple hundred thousand dollars and that they were being paid risk-free 20% to put it into an account. They really didn't think that. They thought that there's something wrong with that. You know, a bank that pays me 20% when I go to my bank and they pay me nothing. No risk in that. There can't be. No, there's no risk there. Most people have some common sense, and if they don't understand what the risk is, they walk away, understanding that There has to be. Things don't pay 9% risk-free or 10, and certainly not 20. Well, I was going to take that interest and I was going to pay for my child's education, or I was going to go get a second home, and or I was going to pay off my student loan debts. Okay. And I'm sorry that happened to you, but there's no bailout coming because you just magically bored that 20% isn't risk-free. Like, you've discovered this risk-free 20% thing that not anybody else knows about, so you get 20, nobody else does. Fascinating. We do it all the time because we're stretching for quick riches. But I think people are learning. And yes, there's been net outflow since March out of the market. There has been some flow out where the average investor is leaving the market or leaving some. But you know what? It's less than 1%. Less than 1% of the total market capitalization has left the market. That's tiny. It's tiny. People will toss out, of course, on any doom and gloom website or whatever they're trying to sell. You know, it's not just doom and gloom. It's just whatever they're selling, okay? They toss out numbers all the time without any context. It's a perfect way. Liar, statistics lie, liars use statistics, however you want to talk about it. I mean, it's so easy to make up numbers to make up a point. And unless you make a point in your life to not be constantly lying to yourself and others, of course, because you want to try to make your case, is you always question the numbers. You always have to, you really have to stop and go, no, wait a minute. You know, I've thought about this for many, many years. It's like, no, we got to tear the data apart. I am not going to try to convince myself of something I already believe in. I'm going to try to convince myself it's wrong. And therefore, if I can't, probably it's right. And that's the best way to go. It really is. We all know that. We have to test our own theories out all the time. So does the market go up all the time? No, it doesn't. And what percentage? And so on and so forth. And we go get deep data, big data. It's so easy to get anymore. But you have to question it. We have to question it. So what we're talking about is $50 billion has left the market since March. Wow. So if I'm trying to make the case that people are bailing out and the average investor is getting out of the market, that's a big number, right? No, it's way less than a 1% of market capitalization. It's a nothing event. It's a complete zero event. There's more corporate buybacks going on than that by a long ways. In other words, fresh money coming into the market all the time. People are hanging in there, and that's the beauty of it. So the real story is average investors are getting smarter, in my opinion. They're getting smarter. They understand that owning Apple is how you have, since the iPhone came out, a 40-fold increase, not trading it. Owning stocks in dividend-paying companies is how you have inflation-protected income all the days of your life, no matter how long you live. They're getting it. These are testing times, I know, but they're mostly testing people who haven't been through it before. Everyone has to go through it. And when we get back to that point where we simply say, okay, so what are you doing in the market? You know, people ask that question all the time. So what are you doing? What do you think? You think we're going to go to 3,400? The talking heads are talking 3,400. Is it 3,800 on the S&P 500? You think the NASDAQ has got the head and shoulders fake move, or the, you know, the Death Star, or whatever kind of nonsensical babble they have, right? Well, we're in a Death Star formation right now. Sure we are. Yeah. Yeah. Because that works every time. I mean, it's like, man, it's like minting money. Draw some squiggles on a chart and you will know what the future is. Isn't it fantastic to hear people talking about that? Instead of gazing into crystal balls, we can look at graphs and we can gaze into the future. It's amazing. It's stunning. These people are so talented. And so you just sit there and you look at this and you listen to this babble day after day, right? And whether it's even – my babble is not CNBC. I don't hear it very often. But when I do, it is unbelievably, relentlessly Well, what do you think about that? You know, traders are saying that the 3,400 mark is where we're going. Yeah, I agree with that, you know, because when we extrapolate the earnings from the S&P 500 and do this and that, we can determine that on December 31st, it's going to be at 3,400. No, it's not. They're never right. They're never held accountable. And this babble leads people away. And until you shut down the babble and you've gone through a bear market, you have a hard time relaxing. It's just a process. And hopefully we can all learn. I'm not here to put down people who have lost fortunes in cyber currency. But we got to learn. People have lost money gambling. Oh, I think they call it day trading, but it's gambling. You don't know anything about any of the companies, and you're trading ticker symbols in companies that don't even make money. Yeah, way to go, trader guy. Fortunes are, vast fortunes are awaiting for you. They're not. But we all have to go through that process. Some can learn through others. Most of us have to make mistakes. And this was a big mistake in 2020, 2021. You can stay at home, sit in your pajamas, do a Zoom meeting once in a while at work, take your stimulus money and gamble. Groovy. Boy, doesn't that lead to some long-term thought process of how markets really work? It doesn't. And a lot of people got burned. And then they turned to cyber currencies. And they're turning to anything that they can make a fortune real fast. You know, it's just a gambling problem that we have. People want to make money quickly. They don't have the patience, which seems remarkable to me, to buy high-quality companies that are down. And I'm going to leave it with this thought here. I've got so much to talk about today. It's just crazy. I just had to go and grab this hour because there's so much going on. You know, with cryptocurrencies blowing up, what's going on in the oil markets, the energy markets, inflation, and then the market rips higher this week on nothing. What changed this week? Maybe I ought to leave that at that. We'll go to a commercial break. What changed this week in your mind to have the market go up 6 to more than 9, 8% on various major indices? It's what changed? Our number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and happy Memorial Day weekend. I love these weekends, not just because you get a day off. It's a great point of reflection. I often think of all the people that came before me. I know a lot of people do, most people do, and what they've done to sacrifice and grow in their lives to give me a better life. We have an amazing nation here. We really do. Really do. I know I've reflected a lot on it lately because of my trip back to Washington, D.C. and how incredibly blessed we are. I know I've said this for years, and I really mean it. We've won the lottery of life to be born in America during the greatest time in humankind. That's just amazing. And so we complain, we have problems, we wish things were different, we get angry, but we've got the greatest nation. We won the lottery, and it's just a great thing to stop and be thankful for that simple fact. And there really are good people in the world in the midst of everything that's gone wrong in this past week. There are good people. Most people are good people. They really are. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. The answer, of course, about my question before we went to the break, what happened, what changed this week? And for many of you who've listened for a long time, you already know this is coming. Absolutely nothing changed. Nothing. Nothing changed. And it's an important point of reflection because we're sitting around thinking, and I know this is true. I really believe this is true for people. The more intelligent you are, I mean cognitively intelligent, the harder it is to be a good investor because you think you can figure out the future. And you might even say, well, I can't figure it all out. But yeah, I mean, I look at things and I study things and I think about things. And we even can convince ourselves that we're right more than we are. That we have like extraordinary intuition about market turns when we don't. We really don't. And I want to reflect on something that I think is really important, because I want you to understand it doesn't matter how much experience you have, and you can certainly understand and feel. And I know those of you that listened last week know that I was saying this is feeling like the peak of pessimism. Okay, does that sound like a market prediction, like the market's going to fly 6 to 8% in the major indices in a week? Well, it wasn't. But it was just this feeling of truth that we were at such a pessimistic point that it felt like it couldn't go up. There's no buyers. We've got to go down. Corporations are announcing bad stuff. Everybody's worried. All the analysts are like, oh, this is terrible. It's horrible. And then the market flies because we hit one of those peaks of pessimism. It doesn't mean we won't retest, but nothing happened. And I want to reflect, too, that this is some time ago, 5, 6 years ago, and the market was going through one of its periodic, you know, barfing up a few points here and there, and everybody's walking around, and the market's terrible. And it was trading horrible. Like, you know, you open the day and you're up a few points, and then before it's even open an hour, it's all red, it's blood red, and it's dropping to the lows. It just does this day after day. It's like, this is terrible. And so it's trading terribly. And I remember making the comment to Jennifer Stone at the office. It's like, God, this thing is just horrible. I just can't believe it. It's just like it can't go anywhere. It's just trading terribly. This is on a Wednesday. And it just feels like we're going to crash. You know, it's like, bah, 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 bah. Grumpy and angry and blah, blah. All right. So I say, make this comment. It was a Wednesday. So on Friday, I'm sitting there, I'm actually in my recliner and just, you know, chilling out at the end of the week and just relaxed. And then all of a sudden I go, oh my gosh. On Wednesday, you know, so I jumped up out of the chair and I wrote it down and I shared it that Saturday, the next day with everybody. The market had gone up 1,000 points on Thursday and Friday. On Wednesday, we were all like, this can't get any better. This is terrible. I'm just trading terrible. It's gosh awful. It's horrible. That marked the bottom. The importance of that is this. We have to recognize that's what happens almost all the time to us. We're wrong. We're absolutely dead wrong. It's like walking back to the buffet at a casino and you walk by the roulette wheel and you're thinking 13. Well, okay, and then the ball hits. You turn to your sweet bride and you say, oh my gosh, next time I get a vision from God, I'm going to run over with a fiver and throw it on 13 or whatever number pops in my head. Well, 13 is your, quote, lucky number. It's your birthday. It's whatever it is. It's nothing. And you walk by 35 times before, actually 37 probably, because there's 38 numbers on the wheel. And you walk by and nothing happened. It fell on 10, 27, whatever, because 13 is always there in your mind. It's your favorite number. You just look over in curiosity. You weren't looking over because God whispered in your ear, 13's coming, and you were wrong every time. And it's not extraordinary. It's ordinary. So you don't register it most of the time. I'm wrong. We have to measure that. If you really think you're good at predicting the market, write it down. Every time you think something's happening, write it down. I'm pretty sure the market's topping out. Was that in 2019? 2020? Like when the pandemic hit? And in the end of March, you were smart and sold out before the market turned from down 30 to finish the year up 18, meaning, ouch, sorry, pal. It was way overpriced at that point, of course, and so you would never be invested in 2021. When? How many times? That's what we have to be honest with ourselves. You can't get that. What happened last week? and I got to take a break. Yep, you know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to talk about what happened last week, because this is what I believe really went on last week. This week, we're in. This was a big move on nothing. Now, I know over the weekend there'll be a few talking heads say, well, you know, after look at that, we hit some certain lines, you know, the 50-day moving average or the 37.5-hour moving, you know, ticky-tock average, whatever. It's just, it's insane. Like, we're going to explain the unexplainable for no reason at all. We had the best week in years. And you would have thought heading into this week, it had to go down, because that's what everybody told you. All right, Fox News is next. We'll be right back after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. Happy Memorial Day weekend. And thank you for being born. Thank God for us being born in the greatest nation, in the greatest time that man's been on earth. It's an amazing blessing. Amazing. And the people that came before us, absolutely amazing. Incredible. You know, what happened last week, been dragging this out for a while before we take a call, is that people looked around somehow and they said, I'm not selling more here. And a few people said, you know, I think I will go ahead and buy Amazon down 40%, Apple down 30%. Maybe Microsoft off 35% is an okay deal. I think I might do that. Maybe I don't know exactly where the bottom is. Maybe I don't need to. Bottom line, you're being paid more to take less risk. Completely upside down in bear markets, down markets. Even if it's technically not a bear market, it certainly is in some areas. High-quality tech names, certainly. We're paid more. Now, what do I mean by that? You're paid more to take less risk? Yes. Now, that's insane. That's crazy. I thought you had to take more risk to get more return. You do, but not in down markets. Why? Because I will tell you that Amazon is off 40%, or was before a nice week, was off 40% from its highs. It's 40% less risky than it was when everybody loved it and felt like it was low risk to buy Amazon and put it away. I mean, it's just simply a simple fact. I'm not saying that Amazon can't go down like 50% from the high, but 40% of the risk has been taken out of the stock. And when you're talking about dividend-paying stocks like Apple or Microsoft that are down 30 or 35%, you get 35% more income than you got before from your dividend. That's a fact, so you get more. And the stock is down, so it's 35% less risky than it was. You get more for less risk. It's completely backwards. It's not how we feel. That's where the emotions kill us. It is unbelievable when you think about it. It's completely wrong. I get paid more to take less risk, but it feels like I'm taking more risk. And it feels like if you're really smart, you should be saying, well, we could go down to 3,400 in the S&P. We could go to 3,800 on the S&P. No, we could. It doesn't matter. If you're getting bargains now, you buy. You don't guess the bottom trade. And that's where that brain kills you. That's where your really intelligence harms you. It's where you misdiagnose how right you are about market tops and bottoms because you listen to all the chatterheads all the time. And we think we know stuff we don't. We think we're intuitive about market tops and bottoms. And we're not. We're not. And we missed a simple fact that today I can actually do a lot. I can get a lot more for a lot less risk. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to worry about the next 5% or 10% move in the market. I'm going to get more for less risk. That's what happened. That's what happened. And we need to take these times and think about it. Just own the great companies when they go on sale and quit worrying about bottom ticking the price. I know, it's like there's this little fundamental thing that's broken in our brains. Oh, I feel really stupid when I buy a company, a great corporation that I've been wanting to own for a long time, down 30% and then it goes down 40%. Oh my gosh, I am a moron. Like, really? No, you're not. You're not. It's how we feel, and we have to fight that. All right, let's go ahead and take a call. Steve, welcome to Money Matters. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I've been listening to you this morning, and I'm sitting in front of right now one of those companies known as Costco that would make a lot of sense in the environment that we're in. You know, one of those dividend staples corporations. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of great companies out there that fall into that category. I know that the glamorous ones, such as you were mentioning, Amazon, Microsoft, you can go to Apple, the glamorous ones, but the meat and potato ones, which really has been kind of the narrative this year, is going into companies that people really frequent, such as, you know, whether it's Costco, whether it's Procter and Gamble, which you see on the Winco shelves everywhere, Johnson and Johnson. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with these companies either.
Not at all.
So the NASDAQ goes up 6%, 7%, 8% 1 week for no apparent reason. Okay, that's fine. But these corporations that are mainstays are also good investments. And a lot of people might say that you're a person's chicken by investing in them. But long term, their track record is amazing, you know, whether these consumer staple corporations and the environment that's out there, you know, for investing, it's not a bad place to be right now. I know in listening to you, it was like there's no reason for what happened last week, and well, probably not. But as far as, you know, of course, everybody's talking about the Fed and how much liquidity they've borrowed against tomorrow by bringing that liquidity forward. That may be the real narrative there is the gambling, like you were talking about. It's like, well, barring, you know, against tomorrow for today. And maybe that's just kind of what we're all feeling. And because it sounds like you're really quite down what happened last week. So I'm kind of like going, well, maybe what we're really feeling is like, holy cow, you know, we are just underwater. And, you know, so much is on margin, barring against tomorrow. And, you know, consumer staples might be more like, well, do you have the cash right now or don't you to buy toilet paper or whatever the necessities are? And it's okay. I mean, you're, like you just said at the end, you know, it's the greatest country and we're living in a great time. There's nothing wrong with these companies that I mentioned. And to invest in them doesn't mean you're chicken. If I'm sitting at the $2 blackjack table and only betting $2 forever on it, that's okay sometimes. We'll just say that. I'll leave it with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, that's great, great stuff. I appreciate your comments. I certainly, if you've listened for any period of time, I absolutely, the core of any portfolio, and this is true, especially for income portfolios. I was going through this just yesterday with a first timer, right? A first timer down market, right? Sold her business. And now for the first time, is dealing with this mountain of money that's moving up and down and saying, how does this work, right? Because we know if we have, you know, $1 million at the bank, or we have $800,000 at the bank, $1 million pays more. But that's not true with stocks and bonds, right? Because you're still getting those dividends. In fact, to your point, they're raising them. Procter & Gamble in 1970 paid 1 penny per share per quarter. It pays more than 70 cents a quarter now. 70-fold increase. There's nothing on the planet that has a 70-fold increase in income except stocks. It's the greatest income story never told. So don't get me wrong. I think these stocks are overpriced. I think there's greater opportunities. I look for growth of dividends, not just high dividends. But you're going to find those in Dow Chemical with over 4% yield. You found it in the drug companies, right? People hate drug companies for periods of time. And then they fall in love with them because their dividends go up all the time. And so we have these different opportunities that come forward. But the core of any great portfolio, in my mind, an income portfolio, are the great dividend payers. And many of those are exactly the companies you're talking about. Costco, sure, it has a very, very low yield. We all know that. It has a very tiny yield, less than 1%. That's because they grow it every year, and that's because they're a dynamo. It's not going to be a Procter & Gamble that yields a lot but grows very slowly. So combining the two, especially when we get a sale, is perfect. Perfect opportunity. And by the way, I'll add this to it. You also pointed out that this is the kind of company we want to be owning in this time. Precisely. It's also why it's not down as much, right? But it is down. It is an opportunity. And it certainly, before this week started, was an even bigger opportunity. And I'm not saying it won't give you that again. But that's the kind of company that's pretty insulated and will just simply charge more for toilet paper, more for strawberries, and whatever else you're buying there. And they will make more money. That's what they'll do in this inflationary environment, because people need those items. Thanks again, Steve. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. We're going to take our final break. Final segment upcoming. If you want to chat, give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Once again, thank you for joining us, and happy Memorial Day weekend. You know, before we jump on the phones here, this week, I mentioned this earlier, that we'll be doing a Zoom meeting for our clients on Tuesday. And it's wisdom of great investors, part two, because we try to think about this periodically. And so much of what I talk about is reminding myself all the time. And when we get into these interesting times, but thinking about great investors and their quotes and what they're trying to get across to people. Yeah, you know, we admire people like Warren Buffett and Peter Lynch and Michael Price and all these that were long-term buyers and holders and didn't believe in trying to time the market and things like that. And as I say, the Market Timing Hall of Fame has nobody in it. There isn't anyone. But we have this human drive to keep trying to predict the future, which is unpredictable. And it's really kind of crazy that we do that. It's not knowable. Your number of days left is not knowable. You really think you are going to know what a globe of billions of people is collectively going to do and be able to predict what's going to happen in the future? Or because some guy, you know, says we have a head and shoulder or doomsday whatever thing coming, that by having graphs and charts that somehow that's better than astrology is at predicting the future? I mean, economists can't even get interest rates right. And I've talked about that before. I mean, they can't. A coin flip does better than economists do at predicting interest rates. One thing. But the economy is so big. It's so many things. It's so much. All coming together. And we get caught up in these times, like when things are so good and we're going to buy cryptocurrencies and we're going to do SPACs and we're going to buy electric vehicles and everybody's got so much money and everybody knows how to trade, and then it blows up. We have to blow it up, because that's not how the way the world works. It has to blow up. And then we have a market correction, and then we have a particularly deep market correction. It's not a correction. It's like an implosion in the SPAC world, in the crypto world, when prices go down 50, 70, 90, or in the case of some cryptos, it all went away. All went away. And some of these SPACs are going away. What's a SPAC, special, whatever, I can't remember now. But anyway, it was this thing going on. It's like the meme stocks. All you got to do is buy this thing, and it goes up every day. And they don't have a real business plan or anything. It's not like they make money, but it goes up every day. And so, oh, yeah, I'll put a couple bucks on that, you know. And it's just ridiculous. That has to blow up. And it did. It doesn't mean the world is blowing up. Yes, we have inflation. Did we not have inflation last year when the market was rocketing higher? Of course we did. And we all have to come back and decide, this is the week where the Fed did this or said this or the minutes were this or that. We all have to come up with a reason why the market did what it did and it didn't. It just did. And that's okay. It just goes up 10% a year on average all the days of your life. But on a one-year basis, it almost never does anything near 10%. And we always have to remember this when we're like, well, I'm 70 and I'm taking income. What do? You plan for this. Corrections are inevitable. Some occur over and over all the days of our lives. They are. Plan for it. All right, let's quickly go to Terry. Terry, thanks for the call. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you know the only shares I've ever had taken away from me was when Eastman Chemical went private, and then they handed me a whole handful of cash for the shares they took away. Wise investor advisors once told me, you know, figure your time frame out and then don't worry after that. Once you know when you need your money, plan for it accordingly. I don't know who would have said that. I might have heard him on the radio once or twice.
Well, that's great, Terry. It is, but it's a reminder we have to have, isn't it? I mean, we just have to remind ourselves all the time, right? Yep. Are we really afraid that Procter & Gamble would end this quarter? Then really, yeah. Does it matter if the price went down? Do we think Apple is growing or shrinking? Well, they seem to be growing still, and their cash flow is monstrous, right? I mean, these are the real questions, but when it's day-to-day, what the market do and all that, our focus gets on the wrong things.
Yeah, that was this morning. I had a first-world problem. They had an Apple iTunes update. Went ahead and plugged in my iPod, and it went ahead and wiped out all my 1,500 songs that I've got planted on it. Oops.
Well, now that is a problem. Yeah.
Once you figure it out, reset everything and do a shutdown and start it back up, oh, my goodness, it'll work again. Apple just wants you to buy new equipment when saying the old equipment won't work anymore until you're smart enough to figure it out. So,
Gotcha. Terry, thank you, and have a wonderful weekend. We're out of here.
Serious Memorial Day to you, sir. Good day.
Yes, sir. You too. And happy Memorial Day to everybody. God bless this great country. Have a good weekend.